are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, August 21st, 2019. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America. Downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Donald Trump is going bat crap crazy, and it's funny and not funny. Trump cancels his Danish trip because they won't sell him Greenland. Says Jews are disloyal and that he's king of the said Jews. Also wants to put nukes in space. Meanwhile, back down to Earth, Trump's team is telling major Republican donors there's going to be a slight and short recession may be coming, but we'll cut more taxes, if that makes you feel better. U.S. government will not provide flu shots to migrants held in their concentration camps and are about to break the Flores Agreement so as to hold children in those camps indefinitely. Meanwhile, a suspicious major uptick in Brazilian forest fires under Bolsonaro. And so much for tariffs. U.S. steel lays off 200 in the wake of an economic slowdown. And I have some bad news for you about the guy in charge of our nuclear weapons. Also, unpaid Kentucky coal miners still blocking that million-dollar coal train. 13 U.S. Congressmen demand answers about U.S. involvement in the Brazilian Lavo Jato political hit job. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders unveils a massive labor empowerment plan. And we'll have some updates on the USDA move. The Volcker Rule, and a report that says government scientists saw the opioid epidemic coming in 2006. Apparently, no one in the Bush administration cared. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. What an auspicious start to the beginning of my own personal vacation. The program will not be on vacation, at least in terms of live, until Monday of next week, wherein we will have a week's worth of great, if I do say so myself, interviews that are all brand new. And Brendan has picked a bunch of stuff from our deep archive for the from the deep archive of Majority Report vaults for members. You can be one of those members by going to jointhemajorityreport.com and checking out. So the plan was for today was I was going to take a lot more phone calls during the free half of the show. We were just going to do a little bit of news. And then we just got this sort of onslaught of the president seemingly. I mean, the only thing I can imagine with what's going on here at this point is that he is worried about his Christian fundamentalist base. I mean, assuming that he hasn't just completely lost his mind, which is, you know, that's a big assumption. At this point,
they change their mind on Greenland.
It's always in play.
But I've got to think that there is, at least as bizarre it is, some some broad sort of even tactical response here to something that they must know internally in terms of a problem. If you look at the polls over the past couple of days, he is bleeding support from his base. Never mind college-educated men and women, which have deserted the Republican Party in broad strokes. Non-college-educated women are deserting him significantly right now. White women. I hope that goes without saying, because it's only white people who have, I mean, broadly speaking, who voted for vote for Republicans. I mean, that's just a statistical fact.
Whitey.
And there's even
I didn't
some,
start anything with the wife.
There's even some, I mean, so he's bleeding support, and I got to believe that what I've just told you is public from Fox News poll. I got to believe that there's internal polling that suggests that he's losing some of his evangelical base. And that's what this is the only thing I can imagine what that's about, because what I'm about to present to you in a, like a 2 or 3 act play here, a novelette, is it's nuts. I just don't know who he thinks he's getting with this at this point. If it's not trying to shore up the evangelical base, which really, I mean, obviously, they are dyed-in-the-wool Republican voters, so they want a justification for not liking brown people, other than just sort of the blatant, like, you shouldn't like brown people. But he also is trying to activate their Israel, their love of Israel, and it gets more religious as we go on. Here is Donald Trump talking about Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, and then getting on the Jews a little bit for not being with the program.
To let them in, including the four. I'm talking about all four, but these two that wanted to get in, Omar and Tlaib. And I think it would be a very bad thing for Israel, but Israel has to do what they want to do. But I would not cut off aid to Israel. And I can't even believe that we're having this conversation. 5 years ago, the concept of even talking about this, even 3 years ago, of cutting off aid to Israel because of two people that hate Israel and hate Jewish people. I can't believe we're even having this conversation. Where has the Democratic Party gone? Where have they gone where they're defending these two people over the state of Israel? And I think any Jewish people that vote for a Democrat, I think it shows either a total lack of knowledge or great disloyalty. All right? Thank you very much, everyone.
Now, a lot of people have taken this a lot of different ways. Some people have said, wow, he's saying that Jews are disloyal to America. And here is Rudy Giuliani clarifying for those who... Rudy Giuliani says, Trump accuses Jewish Democrats of great disloyalty, the New York Times. This is routine for the New York Times and J Street, but really disappointed a representative of the Anti-Defamation League would feign confusion about Donald Trump's statement. Because they're all saying, maybe in this, I didn't read the Times specifically right up, or what they're, that, well, they're all saying that this is an old anti-Semitic trope. They're accusing Jews of disloyalty. But here's Giuliani clarifying. POTUS, that's the president of the United States, is referring to disloyalty to Israel. You see, what the president is saying is that Jews, we all know, have a loyalty to America, but they also are supposed to have a loyalty to Israel.
It's both countries.
In other words, there's another way you can say it. You say, like, Jews, as you know, have a dual loyalty. In other words,
they're wandering people. They don't got no loyalty to America. So it's Israel, too. He's talking about both.
They have a dual
loyalty. It's a smear.
Well, they're supposed to, anyway.
Right. They're supposed to. And so this is like him basically saying, like, you know, Jews are supposed to be cheap. And some of these Jews aren't even cheap.
Let me put it this way. Let me give you a friggin' comparison. What if there was a law that that Rashida whatever came out? She said, oh, incidentally, I hate the Jews. So not only do I oppose Israel, but I want to get rid of all money lending operations in the country. And if a Jew were to support that, would that be very supportive of his own people? You answer me that.
I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that.
So in other words, a Jew himself would vote against money lending operations. So what the president is saying is that you, as a Jew, if you were to vote against, say, exorbitant credit card interest, as an example, you would either be stupid or disloyal. How much more simple can this get?
So there's Donald Trump, I guess, trying to, I don't know what he's trying to do there, but he accidentally.
I'm trying to start the Jexodus.
Exactly.
He's trying to neg us into starting the Jexodus.
There you go. So let's be clear, whatever country he's saying Jews are being disloyal to, he's talking to 80% of the Jews in this country. And
probably there's other countries where that kind of message coming from the president of the United States is a bit worrying.
Wait a second. Now, 80% of you opposes Shylock now?
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of loyalty is that? I thought the Jews were supposed to be smart.
Right, exactly.
At the very least.
Supposed to be good with money.
Supposed to know how to work the numbers.
All right, so there's Rudy Giuliani clarifying things for us.
Oh, boy.
More clarity.
So, completely unrelated. Completely unrelated to the story of Donald Trump saying that Jews have dual loyalty, and when they don't, it's a failure on their part. What network is this? This Newsmax TV invites on,
this is his regular show there.
So, in the wake of this, Wayne Allen Root, goes on to his Newsmax TV show. Now, Wayne Allen Root, if you're not familiar with him, is a Fox News. I don't know if he's a paid contributor, but he goes on there quite a bit. He's the one who broke the story about Barack Obama being a gay Muslim. He is also the one who broke the story about Heather Heyer's killer being paid by George Soros. He also broke the story. I'm trying to think, what else? What other stories did he break? I can't remember exactly what other stories he broke here, but nevertheless, he broke a lot of these top stories, as you can imagine.
I think we should save it, but he had some very interesting insight about the Mueller investigation.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I think we have the audio of that. Yes. In fact, let's play some of the audio of the Mueller investigation thing, just so I give you a sense of who Wayne Allen Root is in terms of like being a, this is from Right Wing Watch. Of course, our friends over there, I think Jared Holt, right? Is that it? Here's Wayne Allen Root. He's going to lead in on the Mueller investigation.
Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and Robert Mueller is from Uranus. Yes. That's the planet he must be from. This guy, in my opinion, I'm going to say it right on national TV, it's penis envy. That's what it is. This guy is jealous. It's like going back to high school. There were guys that
okay.
were nerds.
I mean,
I don't think Robert Mueller is cognizant
but I'll
enough
be
to
honest
be jealous
with you.
Of
the
Trump's
stuff
penis.
About
he
Heather.
He does seem like he has big dick energy, I'm just going to say.
The Heather Heyer stuff.
Can you repeat
is,
that?
The Heather Heyer stuff is more offensive, I think, obviously, by far.
It's just stupid.
And
but that
the gay Muslim stuff. So this is Wayne Allen Root. And this is what he had to say. Now, here he is. I should just tell you, for those of you who are not watching, the crawl on the Chiron says John Voight slams. Who does he slam? Just let it go a little bit further. Slams radical left. And just that's breaking news. That's breaking news.
Trump. Yeah. Oh, what are we, Marianne now?
Praises Trump as a man of truth and love. So that's breaking news. So they got to play that across the thing. And so here he is. You can call John Wayne Allen Root if you want, or Wayne Allen Root if you want. All you got to do is dial 833 War Talk. And here he is in the wake of Donald Trump's comments yesterday.
Don't forget, I don't know if you haven't watched the show, I happen to be Jewish by birth, and 75% of all Jews vote Democrat, and they don't like Trump, and this is the greatest president for Jews and for Israel in the history of the world, not just America. Trump's the best president for Israel in the history of the world, and the Jewish people love him like he is the king of Israel. They love him like he is the second coming of God, and in America, American Jews don't like him. They don't even know what they're doing or saying anymore. It makes no sense. But that's okay. He keeps doing what he's doing. He's good for all of us. Good for Jews, good for blacks, good for gays. He's good for everyone in America who wants a job. Barney, thank
you. Okay. Now, I should just tell you, I don't want to get too pedantic here. I was a religious studies, I think, co-major, or I can't remember. But I did study that in school. In terms of the Jews, we don't believe in a second coming. We don't actually even believe in a first coming. We don't believe in a Messiah as a godlike figure. I mean, you can be a Messiah. It just means you're like a really smart dude, essentially, or, you know, that you just come in and maybe you.
There's that word again.
Right. Smart. And. But not, I mean, I guess presumably you'd have to be Jewish, but I'm not even sure about that.
And do we have a king or a pope?
Well, there was a time back in the day where the Hebrews did have kings, but not really so much anymore. Now,
hey, Bathsheba, I'm going to send your husband out.
Why would we spend time at the beginning of the show on some lunatic, Wayne Allyn Root, who is a total lunatic, who exists on the margins of society, who is clearly bat crap crazy. Maybe he's just a grifter, whatever. They have him on Fox News to promote this stuff. And, you know, who watches WorldNet Daily except for absolute right-wing nut jobs?
Actually, really, right? Primarily
Newsmax,
us.
Right? Well, yeah, there's one other. Clips. There apparently is one other viewer.
Oh, yeah.
And he quote-tweeted Wayne Allyn Root. In fact, he wrote, "Thank you to Wayne Allyn Root for the very nice words. Quote, President Trump is the greatest president for the Jews and for Israel in the history of the world. Not just America. He's the best president for Israel in the history of the world, dot, dot. And the Jewish people in Israel love him. He's like the king of Israel. They love him like the second coming of God. But American Jews don't know him or like him. They don't even know what they're doing or saying anymore. It makes no sense. That's okay. If he keeps doing what he's doing, he's good for all Jews, blacks, gays, everyone. And importantly, he's good for everyone in America who wants a job."
Wait, is the second coming of God a thing?
Oh, no. Wow.
Wow. Now, the wow is his comment. And, of course, this is from the president of the United States. Has either instructed someone to transcribe, ordered the transcription.
I typed that out.
I mean, someone probably helped him do this, but the president of the United States is not just retweeting. He is literally, over the course of three tweets, quote tweeting this absolute lunatic.
Look at what Brother Zion 1 said on YouTube. "Anybody who hates Obama is a white devil with a corroded, incest-ridden brain. Anybody who wants a job, devils, blacks, African, Asiatic men, love Obama." Wow.
No, that's all right. I'll transcribe it myself, Stephen. I love the quote that much.
This has to be a function of them feeling like their evangelical support is caving. That's the only thing I can imagine.
That is a real miracle, though, right?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
So here's Bernie Sanders, who weighed in as to the incredible disloyalty that Jews are displaying by not supporting Donald Trump and voting for Democrats. Bernie Sanders, as you may know, a bit Jewish himself.
"That if you are Jewish, I gather, to be a loyal American, you got to vote for Donald Trump and Republicans. Well, Let me say this to the president. I am a proud Jewish person. And I have no concerns about voting Democratic. And in fact, I intend to vote for a Jewish man to become the next president of the United States.
Holla.
There you go.
That's so awesome.
Now, again, according to Rudy Giuliani, Bernie Sanders was wrong. It was not about loyalty to America. It was about Jews failing to live up to their expected dual loyalty that they have for both Israel and for America, and are not placing Israel properly enough in the decision-making matrix when they vote in terms of you know, supporting the right-wing Israeli government. So, nice statement, Bernie, but wrong. Sorry. So,
look, Brother Sadat X, Asiatic African one. Anyone who hates Obama must be grafted by a pig. Everybody who loves him are those who want jobs, no matter devil or full human. Wow.
There you go.
I'm really failing on my quadruple loyalty to Czechoslovakia, Poland, and Germany. And
I've noticed that, actually.
Where are
that
you at
comes
with
across
that?
Quite a bit.
You don't even push for Germany or Czechoslovakia stories in the chat.
So back on the Donald Trump has gone bat crap crazy over the past 24 hours. Now, I can come up with a... I mean, look, there's two answers to all of this, right? He's completely crazy. Because I can understand why he's attacking Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, because bigotry against people of color, bigotry against women, bigotry against Muslims, that is an actual currency within the Republican Party. That's not to say that that doesn't exist outside the Republican Party. But within the context of the Republican Party, it is the primary motivating factor upon which Republicans vote. That's just simply, that's just undeniable. The statistics are there. It used to be, including homophobia. Up until, you know, 2004 was the last major presidential election where a hatred of gay people and a disdain for the idea that there could be marriage equality drove people. But now the Republicans are just relying on race and on anti-Muslim bigotry and
transphobia is in play as well.
Transphobia is in play. That's true. It doesn't, you know, Donald Trump is not, he's just actually, he doesn't get rhetorical as much about it as probably would satisfy them, but he's certainly done plenty to hurt their protections and, you know, in terms of the military and whatnot. But yes, I would say transphobia. Those four things cover easily 80% of the Republican voter, you know, voting base in terms of like you want to motivate them out. I mean, I think that's, I think there's, you know, it's not hard to find the statistics on that.
Abortion would be in there too.
Abortion's in there as well.
Rich people.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I think that doesn't necessarily motivate them to vote in the same way. I mean, if you look at times where there's been depressed Republican turnout, the thing that really motivates them. And so I understand why he's attacking Tlaib and Omar. I think I can come up with a plausible explanation as to why he would say this about Jews, because he wants to make it about Israel and he wants to motivate evangelicals. That may be wrong. It may be just crazy.
He takes their voting personally, too.
Right. But this, in a million years, I can never understand. As you know, I don't even know if we covered it because it was so silly. Donald Trump supposedly was asking his advisors about buying Greenland.
We covered in the context of Kudlow.
Right. Okay. But it was like, it was just like a side story. Like, well, Donald Trump tweeted out this last night. Denmark is a very special country with incredible people, but based on Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen's comments that she would have no interest in discussing the purchase of Greenland, I will be postponing our meeting scheduled in 2 weeks for another time. The Prime Minister was able to save a great deal of expense and effort for both the United States and Denmark by being so direct. I thank her for that and look forward to rescheduling sometime in the future. He is trying to punish the Prime Minister of Denmark for deigning to take his desire to buy Greenland seriously and then saying, yeah, not for sale.
That's how you make a deal.
I guess he thinks there is a constituency in the United States that is saying, like,
the Greenlanders
want to see him tough with the Prime Minister of Denmark. I mean, this is just bat crap crazy. Unless he's just like didn't want to go or something, or was having a bad hair week or something like that. I'm not sure. I'm not being facetious. It's almost inexplicable.
I read it as he just doesn't want to go and is looking for an excuse.
That's what it could be.
Sell us French Antigua.
Here's now. The Danish Prime Minister if you want to see her response.
Yeah, here's her response to this. Now, isn't she like anti-immigrant a little bit?
Yeah, I think she's
extremely
so. Yeah. And so you would think natural allies, but I want Greenland.
It is with regret and surprise that I received the news that President Trump has canceled his state visit to Denmark on the 2nd and 3rd September. I had been looking forward to the visit. Our preparations were well underway. It was an opportunity, I think, to celebrate Denmark's close relationship to U.S. and who remains one of Denmark's closest allies. I was looking forward to having a dialogue on the many shared interests Denmark has with the U.S. Furthermore, the developments in the Arctic region call for further cooperation between the U.S. and Greenland, Faroe Islands, and Denmark. And therefore, I would like to underline our invitation for stronger cooperation on Arctic affairs still stands.
What a bad accent.
I was just going to say, you know, there's no honor among fascistic bigots. That's the problem. You know, it's just that's the thing. Is that there used to be a time back in the old days where you would stick together. You wouldn't do this over a piece of land. You would never do that over a piece of land. Just
you're surprised. Stunning. I'm surprised.
I would also add to the array of bat crap crazy things coming out of the White House today. Before we get on to the also horrific things coming out of the White House today, that on Tuesday. Yesterday, in addition to saying that Jews have dual loyalty and are failing at it, in addition to canceling a visit to Denmark because they won't sell us Greenland, President Trump signed a presidential memorandum outlining new procedures to launch nuclear power systems into outer space. Now, it's a great week to do this. Because we just had this wonderful story this week of evidence that Russia may be trying to cover up a tragic nuclear accident after a blast on August 8th killed at least 7 people at a naval weapons site. There was fallout that was found quite some distance. That's how people know about it. So why do I bring that up? As Trump directs the Department of Transportation to issue public guidelines within a year for commercial companies seeking a license to launch spacecraft with nuclear systems into space. I am pointing upwards because that's where it will be.
Let the free market decide.
And I imagine that this memorandum, which gives NASA 180 days to create an interagency nuclear safety review board, 180 days, that's plenty of time to do that, to ensure the safety of launching radioisotope power systems, fission reactors used for power and propulsion, and more, up into the sky. And I am sure the benefits of this will rain upon us for years and years and years to come.
Competition would start kicking in.
I just...
Might have even been to keep the testosterone flowing as well.
I'm feeling pretty good about going on vacation. Let's also just get to this horror, because I wanted to use today to talk about some proposals that that some Democrats have floated. But let me just start with this before we get on to, because I had said the other day that Democrats had no real immigration plans on the table, and both Julian Castro and Elizabeth Warren have pretty vigorous plans. Much of Warren's was borrowed from Castro, I mean, according to her, but nevertheless, they've signed on to those. But before we get to that, two stories about our concentration camp plans and programs. The Customs Border Patrol will not provide flu shots for immigrants who are being detained in our concentration camps. At least three children have died in these detention facilities over the past year from complications arising from the flu. That is the first time in 10 years that any immigrants who we have been detaining have died in our custody. There were more that have died, but three were specifically in part from the flu. And we are not providing them flu shots, because supposedly we don't hold them long enough, which of course is absurd. I don't know how, I mean, it's just, it's absurd. It's absurd. It's inhumane. I don't know what else to say about it, except for the idea that we are holding them only for short periods of time. The Trump administration wants to deal away with that. As it stands now, when we detain immigrants, and this has changed somewhat over the past 3 years, it used to be we would not separate children from their parents unless the parents were shown to have committed a serious crime in the crossing of the border, i.e., they had drugs, they were abusing the family, some other violent crime. And then kids would be separated from the parent, because that's what we do even in this country as well. The Trump administration then changed their policy, and instead of issuing civil violations coming across the border without papers, which is the way that it had been exercised basically for decades, they considered it a criminal charge, and therefore, based on that, separated children from their parents. There has been an agreement since 1997 called the Flores Settlement Agreement that was based upon a wide-scale lawsuit, a class action suit that was brought against the U.S. government on behalf of migrant children. Under the auspices of that agreement, the federal government is not allowed to hold children more than 20 days. They must be licensed care programs. There are specific requirements in terms of hygiene and access to sanitary facilities and medical treatment and contact with family members under this agreement. Well, the Trump administration has decided we are no longer going to follow that. We're no longer going to follow that agreement. Now, there's going to be lawsuits. And supposedly they're going to go in front of a federal judge before this new regulation, essentially, that they're doing, this new edict, it goes into effect. They'll find a judge who Trump has appointed, and they will get an okay on this. I'm quite convinced of it. They will pick the judge. They will make sure that the judge signs off, and then we'll see court cases. It's just horrific. And it's horrific. They are doubling down on everything.
It's totally horrific. And this is how concentration camps turn into death camps. Like Raices, Texas.
Starts with neglect. Exactly.
Raices, Texas tweeted, the U.S. death rate in children from the flu is about 1 in 600,000. So far, 3 children have died out of 200,000 people held at detention facilities along the border. So already the death rate is 9 times the normal death rate from the flu. And as someone else pointed out, Anne Frank didn't die in the gas chambers. Anne Frank died of typhus in overcrowded conditions. So this is a terrifying and intentional way to start killing people.
Yeah, check out the Three Arrows video, How Societies Turn Cruel, for more on that.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you're absolutely right. And this is part of the program. It's just one more element to make these concentration camps miserable, ostensibly, to either A, scare immigrants from trying to come to America, or B, allow their base to justify in their minds that the parents are subjecting them to this. It really is disgusting. It really is disgusting. We're going to have to push that ad. I don't want to do this ad now. So let's talk a little bit about two of the more robust immigration plans that we have out there. Now, look, somebody on Twitter was complaining that we haven't done enough coverage of Julian Castro. And, like, you know, there are 20 candidates. He's not polling at even 2%. I think his immigration plan is good. It seems to be the most aggressive of all of them on some level. Elizabeth Warren has adopted a bunch of it. Quickly, in terms of Castro's plan, in addition to him having a calling for what he calls a Marshall Plan for Central and parts of Latin America, which
I wouldn't trust his version of that.
Frankly. Well, that's my other reservations
huge
with a guy
question
like
marks.
That. But the idea of it floating around is good. It can always be problematic when it's in. But the idea is to try and rebuild the institutions of these countries since we have interfered in their development and have made these countries, in many instances, extremely dangerous for people, which is why, and untenable for people, it's why they migrate here. He calls for the government to get out of the business of routine immigration enforcement. Immigration and Customs Enforcement would retain its investigations unit, but enforcement and removal would see its functions split over different agencies and would prioritize individuals with serious criminal convictions and threats to national security, multiple reentries with a criminal history. Customs and Border Protection would be steered away from routine immigration enforcement within the United States. DHS would stop signing agreements with local law enforcement agencies. Immigration detention could only be used in the most serious cases. It would end the use of private prisons. Immigration courts would be removed from the Attorney General's authority. So you can't get stuff like Jeff Sessions saying, you're no longer going to consider domestic abuse or threats from gang violence to be legitimate causes for asylum. Those are the big points on Julian Castro's immigration plan. Warren adopts a lot of that, particularly the 1325 thing that that Castro brought up in one of the debates. That is the 1325 Title VIII is the law that's been on the books that says it is a crime to cross into the country without documents. Before the Trump administration, every administration prior to that, to my knowledge, at least for the last 20, 30 years, had been interpreting that and basically doing prosecutorial discretion and saying that it, instead of it being a criminal violation, it was a civil violation, sort of like a speeding ticket. And if you got a speeding ticket, you can't separate the children, can't kidnap them. You don't put these people in prison. Say you got a court hearing. Go and come back. And that system is what worked. Well, one of the things that Castro and Warren would do would be to reverse that executive order and get rid of that statute so that it cannot be interpreted in the way that the Trump administration is doing. Warren's pledging to admit 6 to 8 times as many refugees as Trump has, although that number is dwindling. I don't know what the base number is on that. That number is dwindling significantly. She would implement proposals that would make it easier for asylum seekers to get their day in court. They would, of course, expand Dreamers and temporary protected status for folks. She would reverse the 1325. She would also get rid of government contracts for private detention facilities as well, cut down on the use of detention for migrants awaiting their day in court altogether. Proposes making immigration courts independent, like Castro and O'Rourke. Calls for reinstating DACA. Pledges to admit 125,000 refugees in her first year as president, 175 per year at the end of her first term. Reverses Trump's restrictions on those seeking asylum to include victims of gang violence and domestic abuse. End the Remain in Mexico policy, which the administration has used to require asylum seekers to wait on the other side of the border. More support for legal immigration, including redistributing unused visas to address the millions of currently in the backlog waiting for a way to enter the U.S. Lower the barriers to naturalization. And so forth. I mean, I think Castro's is probably a little bit more aggressive in terms of not just decriminalizing, but allowing more folks in. But there needs to be, I think, still a set of policies that are more clearly can be espoused in a bumper sticker on some level. I think open borders scares people. Frankly, the vast majority of Americans, I think, would recoil at that. But there can be sort of broader principles, like we're going to give everyone who wants citizenship a path to citizenship. We're going to give everyone who is seeking asylum based on certain criteria rights to asylum. That I think, you know, broadly speaking, you could say everyone who comes in with, you know, a non-criminal record or at least some mitigation of that, or maybe have served time, or there's no open warrants for people or something to that effect. There's got to be a way of doing it where you can say, we're going to have control over our borders, but we're still going to let people in. We're going to do so in a controlled and orderly fashion, but we're going to let people in because immigrants add to our society. And that's that.
Yeah, I actually kind of agree with you about the term open borders. I mean, within the left, it means something very different, I think, than what most people understand it to mean. It means mostly it's an umbrella term for what you just said: decriminalization of migration, a path to citizenship, all the things that most of us agree are good. I would ask people to focus more on the idea of the free movement of people rather than open borders, because it's too easy to conflate open borders or free movement of people with the unfettered free movement of capital, which is not the left's project. That is a neoliberal project.
Yeah. And I think, I think these proposals go a decent way towards some of this anyways. I had, you know, said that there was really no proposals out there that were significant, I guess last week. And so wanted to address that.
And that's it. No more Julian Castro. Sorry, sir.
That's probably it.
It's not happening.
That's
anymore.
Probably it.
And his record at HUD is terrible.
That's probably
really
it.
Not good. Very bad and very bad for you.
But I appreciate, I mean, this is the point of this stuff. And let me just, while I'm at it, I'll talk about Bernie's labor proposal. Because, you know, if Julian Castro's contribution to the to this race is that Elizabeth Warren adopts a bunch of his proposals and gets it more into the mix, forces other candidates to adopt similar proposals. That's great.
Like the Bernie rule from
exactly where I was going. Like, not to bring up the dumbass horse whisperer again, but whoever that anonymous guy who turns out to be a corporate PR guy. Now, maybe he's not, because I don't know who he is, but he didn't deny it. Guy who's paid to represent the interests of corporations. I'm saying that literally. That's literally what he gets paid to do. Was critiquing Bernie Sanders, claiming that Bernie Sanders stayed in the race to sell books in 2016. Now, I think people can have complaints about anything that is real. If people want to complain that Bernie Sanders stayed in the race longer than they wanted him to, fine, that's your opinion. But when you look at every policy proposal that is out there, and if you support Joe Biden, well, then this is not for you. But for the rest of you, every single proposal that the candidates are promoting in some way, and I would argue in a very large way, is a function of Bernie Sanders pushing these proposals in the first place. All the stuff on healthcare, this conversation would be radically different had Bernie Sanders dropped out of the race in January of 2016. It would be radically different on healthcare. It would be radically different on labor. Elizabeth Warren would not be pushing the labor stuff that she's pushing. To a certain extent, maybe climate, although I would imagine they would all be pushing it fairly significantly. But without Bernie Sanders, the primary argument that has existed in the Democratic Party at this point would not be happening. I mean, it would be basically like, how can we shore up parts of the ACA? That's it. Biden would be defining it. So having people like Julian Castro in there, putting one proposal forward that gets picked up by the others, that's great. I'm down with that. Which is also why I love this, that Sanders is unveiling this, because it's hopefully will put pressure on the other candidates to adopt the similar. I mean, the idea is that we want to push the Democratic Party to the left. Like to be in a position to execute these proposals, but the point is, if the Democrats are running for the next 10, 15 years on these proposals, they adopt them. When they get into office, they're going to have to push them. Sanders' labor platform includes ending at-will employment so companies could no longer fire workers without showing they had just cause, extending collective bargaining rights to state and local government employees. That was We have that on a federal level, not on states and locals necessarily. Allowing federal employees to strike. The plan would create sectoral collective bargaining system, like they have in Europe, that in which labor and management would negotiate minimum standards. Sort of like show business right now. It happens, I don't know if what happens in other industries, but I'm pretty sure that what we have in show business, there's a minimum standard. There's no SAG-AFTRA job that I can take that doesn't pay a minimum. I can get paid more, but there is scale, period. And it would be a similar, I would imagine, dynamic as that. It would halt the executive order pension benefit cuts, which were made possible by a 2014 compromise signed into law by President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden. He wants credit for all that. It would require companies to recognize unions once the majority of workers sign cards. That's card check. Right now what happens is they sign cards, then they got to petition the National Labor Relations Board for a vote. During that time when the vote comes, companies bring in spokespeople, movies, experts to dissuade people from the union. Veiled threats. Maybe they'll punish some of the union leaders if they can get away with it. If they're real morons, they'll announce they're doing that on Twitter. Like that. What is that? Is it, was he the
Barstool?
Barstool Sports moron. It will ban mandatory workplace anti-union meetings. It will abolish state right-to-work laws that prohibit mandatory union fees. It will make it harder for companies to claim their workers are independent contractors than employees, so no wage theft. It'll protect workers' jobs during work stoppages. This is huge. And I don't imagine that the majority of the candidates will adopt all of this, but I imagine that the candidates will adopt some of it, and it'll put pressure on them. And Joe Biden can harken back to all the days where he was, you know, hard hat Joe or whatever it was, and
see if he can address this stuff. And I came down and I said, I remember when Bobby Kennedy was killed in 1980, Strom Thurmond and I took shots. I said, I don't want them busing, but I don't believe in full segregation. He said, I do, but he was a great guy. And we worked together. We said, Bobby Kennedy shouldn't be shot in the head.
He's such
folks,
a
folks, that's what
dog.
We got to do.
Here it is, folks. Here is your most electable hashtag a moment of the day. Here is the most electable candidate the Democrats have to win the presidency. The most electable. Here he is right now speaking at, where was it, an Iowa fair? Iowa on Tuesday.
Just like in my generation when I got out of school, that when Bobby Kennedy and Dr. King had been assassinated in the 70s, when I got engaged, you know, up to that time, remember, none of you women will know this, but a couple men may remember. That was a time in the early 60s, where it was drop out, go to Haight-Ashbury, don't get engaged, don't trust anybody over 30.
Wait, women weren't involved in that?
Yeah, I don't know what, that's the
and
weirder
Strom,
part of it.
Strom wondered, he was like, why is it all you hippie kids? Why weren't there any women in the free love movement?
So is this guy saying, wait a second, it sounds to me like he's saying, like, I gave up all that. That's what all the guys were doing. You gals wouldn't know about that.
100% gay dudes in Haight-Ashbury. Fun fact.
What's that? Back then?
That's what he's implying.
Yeah, let's try that. I don't know.
Wait, let's play this again. Because a lot of people are making a big deal out of the 70s, and he goes back and he tries to cover his tracks by saying 60s
worse.
Over again.
No, he says late 70s.
He says late 70s, but then he goes back around, and he's trying. You can tell that he catches himself a little bit. But the way that he papers over it, he's like, I just got to say something that's vaguely misogynist so that people pay more attention to that.
My generation, when I got out of school, when Bobby Kennedy and Dr. King had been assassinated in the 70s, when I got engaged. Up to that time, remember, there were none of you women will know this, but a couple men may remember. That was a time in the early 60s, where it was drop out, go to Haight-Ashbury, don't get engaged, don't trust anybody over 30.
Yeah, man, why do we bring all these freaking women around?
Guys being dudes.
I don't want any girls in Haight-Ashbury.
Jacking with your homies.
Because when you have periods. No, I don't think that's what it was. When they have their periods, it ruins the weed harvest, man.
I don't. At that time, that's not what that was about.
Hey, Joe, why did you try to bring a girl with you to Haight-Ashbury, man? We hate them.
Was the tune-in dropout thing?
Went there.
No. We only have dudes here, man.
You're thinking of the Castro,
no,
but...
No, he's saying that that no women did this.
Did you ever watch...
He is saying no women did it, but it's not a gay thing. He's just saying that, like, this was what, like, was enticing young men to go out there.
He's just implying it without realizing but it.
Did you ever watch Hair, man? That guy went to Vietnam just so he could get away from his old lady, man.
Was he just saying... I guess the real question is Joe Biden just saying that... everybody who went to San Francisco in the 60s was gay, or that he just didn't believe that women had that option to
go? I think that he doesn't think like the option between whether being politically active or dropping out. I think he thinks that didn't apply to women because women weren't political back then.
Yeah. I think James Maddox explained to him that it was only homos in Haight-Ashbury.
I mean, yeah, women
like,
have been.
I remember Strom Thurmond. He said it's all a bunch of gays. And this I is said, why I'm from. I'm I Syracuse mean, Joe.
What he's trying to say is like, hey, fellas, am I right? You went there to like do guys stuff and like have sex with women.
I think
but, like, women
he. I think he was
that.
Saying. I think he
I'm
was
trying
making
to talk about
point.
Getting out of the draft. I think that's what he's
well,
trying
and political
to say.
Apathy
it's,
in
it
general.
It doesn't make any sense.
I think the
I
draft,
think
or I think he's saying that like it was very enticing to go and be irresponsible, but I was not that guy.
Yeah, because he talks the same way. Yeah, it's about the being politically active or just dropping out and doing drugs, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, they were out there doing drugs. Meanwhile, I was studying for the bar.
And getting engaged.
And getting
I wasn't
engaged.
Going out and having a non-perfect sex life by
That's
going out there.
No
That's
women have ever done drugs.
I was planning on thinking of practical ways. Like,
do we know what time that was?
Could you have a couple of Negroes?
Do we know what time that speech
PSA.
Was given during the day? Because The Hill is reporting, and there's a quote, Biden has a tendency to make the blunders late in the day, his allies say, particularly after a long swing on the road. That doesn't happen much when you're president or when you're campaigning.
It's interesting because after a long day, I like to play a pickup basketball game. How you like me now, plugs?
Like he had last week in Iowa, they say something needs to be done to give the candidate more downtime as the campaign intensifies in the fall. I have a suggestion, and that is to drop out. That will give him a lot of downtime. It will refresh him, and he can come back. He can come back
tune
and
in,
give. He can give a talk at the convention.
He'll probably give a good convention
speech
talk
if we let
18
him
18 months to rest up.
Yeah.
He'll nail it.
All right.
I talked to Strom Thurmond. Why are we so divided? He said it's because. They're forcing our lunch counters, and I said, by golly, I don't totally disagree or agree, but we're Americans, and he was a great guy.
All right,
he was upset when Bobby was killed in 1979. Women.
We're going to take a break,
tired,
go to the fun half. I'm going to take a break, go to the fun half. Did not get to calls yet. Apologies. We will immediately, as soon as we get in there, we'll have plenty of time to take 4 calls. Folks, just a reminder, you can support the show by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. I get a little bit sentimental when I'm about to take a vacation, because this is the longest vacation I have of the year. It's going to be 7-8 shows in a row. And so, see ya. We'll see you.
It's not a very sentimental.
No, but yeah, no, I just want to thank our members for making this show possible. Thank all of you for supporting this show in every way that you do. Starting, you know, after Labor Day, it's going to be pretty intense for about 14 months. And it could get pretty intense after that, but it's going to be an intense 14 months. And so buckle up, get ready to do some work. You're going to have to get out there. I encourage you to support any candidate that you support in the primary by actually like getting physical with it. I'm not saying you should beat up people.
No,
who don't
you should
support,
intimidate other people. But threaten them. Be clear about your candidate. But, bring but back honestly, Jamaica in the 1970s. Bring that back.
Do some phone calling. Do some walking and knocking on doors.
Do some harassment of women online.
Harass some women online, of course.
If a woman tells you she's not interested in Andrew Yang's UBI plan, that is absolutely an invitation for further explanation. That did be super detailed. Don't just really be clear about automation and what Andrew Yang's proposing.
Try and mute Neera Tanden and just move forward. Do whatever you got to do. I can't believe I watched some of this stuff and I'm just like, I mean, I got it a little bit more during 2016 because it was a bitter, you know, but these people, like, who are they?
Their brain's broken.
There's something wrong.
They're off.
There's something really wrong.
They're super off.
You got to, you know, it's really decidedly unhelpful.
And unhealthy.
And unhealthy. I mean, like, honestly, like. The Center for American Progress, we don't have big institutions, even on the center left. Things like Think Progress, valuable resource. Maybe you should spend a little less time online, tweeting, a little more time trying to build these organizations, which are, you know, it's a tough time for them. I mean, honestly, this is, I'm flabbergasted.
I think 6 figures to tweet is a good salary.
I would do it. I would do it, but I would also start to like wonder, like, hey, wait a second, maybe I should focus a little more on the organization.
Oh yeah, I have infinitely more respect for people who get out there and try to execute the courage of their convictions than people who don't.
In the meantime, join themajorityreport.com. Don't forget justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority, get 10% off. And all next week, we will be we will have brand new content for you. And every day, we will have fresh daily content for you on the AM Quickie. You can get it by signing up for the Majority Report on iTunes, wherever the podcast is available, Stitcher, Spotify, Podify, all the different places where you can get podcasts.
That and is a real one.
Is it?
Well, it's like some weird sort of business associated.
All right. Yeah. Overcast.
I like Overcast.
All of them. You can hear it then. Yesterday was Tuesday. What happened, Michael, in this office?
We had an excellent TMBS, as we're wont to do on Tuesdays. I will say Shahid Buttar, who's running to challenge Nancy Pelosi, was, I mean.
The real deal.
Yeah. And even great politicians or people running for office, that was a standout in the sense that I felt like I was interviewing somebody who the content of the interview and the breadth and depth of his synthesis went well beyond a campaign. But that campaign is super important. And I think if anybody could pull off such a Herculean task as actually upsetting Nancy Pelosi, it would be him. And we went everywhere from democratic socialism in relationship to safeguarding constitutional civil liberties and how that intersected with the critique of the national security state, Silicon Valley, and a whole bunch of other topics. Anna Kasparian, amazing as always. In the post game, an intro to integral theory and Gene Gepser and perceptions of perspective taking going back to the Renaissance with Jeremy Johnson. And is the left coming back? Election results on Argentina and a bit of an illicit history of the Kirchners and a whole bunch more, including Israel, Brazil, and this amazing initiative in Ethiopia. Patreon.com/TMBS, Michael Brooks Show on YouTube. In the next 60 or so subscribers on YouTube, and we will hit our first 71,000. And come see us Saturday in Chicago, folks, with Chuck Mirtz. We're looking forward to it.
Jamie.
This week on the Antifada, we had back our friend Molly Crabapple to talk about her arrest with a bunch of her fellow Jews at last week's Amazon ICE protest, the importance of anti-fascist activism. And then she gave us a little overview of the protests in Puerto Rico that she reported on. As most people probably know, they exploded when Governor Ricardo Rossello's ghoulish frat boy chat logs were leaked to the public. So we talk a whole bunch about that. And then on Friday for patrons, we have a bonus coming wherein Molly goes over and translates some of the lyrics of the official anthem of the protests, Afilando los Cuchillos by Residente, Ile, and Bad Bunny. Patreon.com/TheAntifada.
Matt.
A literary hangover. Last 2 weekends had 2 new episodes of our George Orwell reading series, so check those out. And also on the YouTube channel, the Rucker Bregman episode has just been uploaded. And next week, I think I'm going to start playing around with live streaming on that, so you might want to subscribe.
On
now.
What?
Live streaming on YouTube first, and then I might get Twitch after right. that. So.
We're going to go to Twitch, I think, following Labor Day. We're going to start to just simulcast and see where that takes us. All right, folks, 646-257-3920. Take your calls now.
Left is best.
Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous, you're a little bit upset, you're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude. You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Some good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27. 1/2, 5/8, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd,
don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance.
Ooh. Grandpa.
I had my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jab.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already. Good.
Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. Are you guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
I think I might be a Nazi.
Agreed.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up.
Ooh. Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. Let's. I want to just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me,
hey, shut up.
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.